Wow. Okay, let's see. All right, so Dwayne, he seems all like, I don't know what the right word is, but all put together up here whenever he reads scripture and stuff. But man, this guy is a load of fun. And this morning I can't even say it happened this morning. Should I tell him? No, I can't tell him. No, I can't tell him. But now I have to, right? Now I have to. Oh, okay. All right, I'll tell him. So this guy just brings me lots of laughs in life. And so he's up here, and he said basically the same thing that he shared with you with our time before we're praying. And the whole time I'm just looking at him like, looks something's funny is going on his lips. And he's saying these nice complimentary kind of things. And I look closer, and I'm like, hey, guys, does it look like he's wearing lipstick? And some of them are like, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I look, Doug, is he wearing lipstick? It's like, you know, it looks like lipstick. And so I'm like, Dwayne, who have you been kissing? Hey, I know he's just greeting his mom. And now he's taking all the nice things back that he says. And I just got such a laugh out of time with him. And so, yeah. Oh, and here we got this picture with him. Like, back here, you might see in the back, there's this prop of, I don't know, what is it, Roar Safari? That's probably the idea. But there's Dwayne. He joins in for our fun a lot. And so there, that picture just reminded me of driving. That's my daughter, Rachel. And she, what? I thought I said the wrong name. you gave me that face like, huh? So that's my daughter, Rachel, and so now she's 17, and I almost got there thinking I got it wrong. But last year she turned 16, and it was like a month after, okay, we can take it down now. I'm getting distracted by it. But last year she had turned 16. She was, she's a really good driver, and she was early into driving it there. I got that out of the way. She needed that disclaimer to be said, that she is a good driver, and she is a good driver. But last summer, we were on our trip out west, and she was driving, newer to driving, and doing a great job. And we were driving down the road, and I'm in the passenger seat, and the difference between Kristen and me in the passenger seat with the kids is I'm pretty much like more laid back. She's more getting anxious and nervous and everything like that and can't do anything right. And so here you are, and I just sit and I'm doing whatever and I'm looking, reading, something like that. And we come and we're out in Montana, out in the middle of nowhere. And I just let them go. I'm like, hey, they're going to figure this out, the driving thing. And she's finally like, which way do I go? And I'm like, I don't know, just keep going straight. It says keep going straight. And then she's like, after a bit, she's like, no, Dad, which way am I supposed to go? And I'm like, reading and not really, all right, okay. What? And she's like, no, like, what way am I supposed to go? It goes this way, and it goes this way. And I'm like, no, it just says go straight. And I'm not really looking up. And then all of a sudden, we're at the last minute, and it is like, which way do we go? And it's like, you know, it got loud in the car. like, and the road went to the right, but it really looked like it could have gone straight. Only if you went straight, you're actually going the opposite way on a one way, and it was coming towards you, and it's like weird. And so we like started down that way, and of course we're out in the middle of nowhere in Montana, and there's nobody except for right then, and there's like this car coming. It's like, all right, get back. And we're going back. And so the whole point of this is that there are two ways to go. Do you see that front of the bulletin? It's two ways to live. And so there's two ways, and there is one way where bad things can happen, and there is a way that is better for us. And so there we were out in the middle of nowhere, and there are decisions to be made. And this morning I want to consider the psalmist's words to us from Psalm 1 that speaks about there's two ways to live. And how it is that we can know the blessed life. And so just as a father who wants to lead his kids the best that he can to help them understand how to experience that blessed life, I believe that God's heart is the same towards each and every one of us, and helping us, and his desire is to help us know how to experience the blessed life and the life that is found, as the psalmist describes here in this psalm. And so Psalm chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning. Just take a little bit of time to look here. And so let's stand as we read this together. Psalm chapter 1, the whole thing. Says this. Psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Our Father in heaven, would you speak to us now? And would you help us to understand and what it is that you want us to hear and how it is that we need to and can strive to honor you more in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So how do we experience this blessed life? Verse 1, it starts out with this phrase, "Blessed is the man." And right off the bat, we hit this word, blessed. It's the main point of the psalm, and blessed, in essence, means completely happy is the man. And when the psalmist begins to lay out how it is that this man gets to experience this happiness as he describes the journey towards these things, to do so, he uses two pictures, he uses two analogies in this psalm, and he starts off here with the first one, which is that of walking, and he says, "Blessed is the man who walks." He speaks of the man's journey and where the blessed life is found by saying the course of a man's life is shaped by the steps that a person takes. It's made up of a whole bunch of little steps that one takes. And the question that each of us must consider for ourselves is, where are the steps that we're taking? Where are they taking us and where are they headed? I don't know how many of you have played the game Ticket to Ride. Anybody played Ticket to the Ride? Yes. It can sometimes be fun, and it can sometimes take a long time. But the point of the game is this. You want to get from one point to another, from one city to another city, and you want to be the one at the end of the game who has made it to the longest or to the most cities or however you want to strategize to do it to get the most points at the end of the game to win. And so it takes a while because you only pick up trains that get you there by going around each time it's your turn, and then you pick it up and then decide if you want to lay it down. And it can take some time. There isn't some magic tunnel that you can just hop in and go through, that sort of like that beam me up Scotty thing, and then all of a sudden you're one place and the next time you're at another place. But it takes time. And we might think that it would be nice if life worked like that for us, where we could just bypass parts of the journey, but it's not like that. There's the journey that we all have to take step by step, and we live in this world where there's a lot of instant stuff, where we can look at our phones and just Google something and immediately and in an instant have an answer. Or there's like this whole Instagram thing where in an instant you can post a picture, and with these cameras you can have an amazing looking picture like in an instant. And then you can post it in an instant and everybody can see what it is. And all around the world with social media, you can see what's going on in an instant wherever you want to look in oftentimes. But life isn't really like that. It's probably a lot more like what it would have been back in the day, when instead of having pictures that we could instantly post, that you had to take a picture, and then you had this roll of film that you had put it on, and then you, for us at that point, you'd take it to like somewhere, Rite Aid, Kmart, somewhere, and you put it in, and then they send it away and get it developed or however, and then in a few days you come back and then you can get it back and then you can see the pictures. Or I remember when I was with my grandfather out at his printing shop, he'd take us into his dark room and there's the chemicals and you develop it, and it just takes time and it takes work, and maybe even going into the dark and going through some hard things is what it's more like in life, right? Where you can't just jump to stuff, and there's this process that we have to go through. Everything isn't instantaneous. And here's where the psalmist tells us that essentially there's two ways to live. There are two paths, and only one of them is going to lead to that true happiness and blessing. And so in showing us how to know the blessed life, he first describes the path that leads to the opposite of God's blessing, the opposite of God's peace, the opposite of God's contentment, meaning that it's the way that's going to lead to disappointment, frustration, pain, hopelessness. It's the way of the wicked. And here's what he says about the one way that a person can live that doesn't lead to happiness. He says the person who will not know true happiness is the person who walks in the counsel of the wicked. He's the one who listens to the advice. He's the one who watches the practices of those who want to have nothing to do with God. He's the one who walks in this place, but just as in this way, but just as with anything that starts out by just hanging with people, then he begins to move on from there. And he moves on from walking with people as he becomes all the more comfortable to where he's no longer walking in the counsel of the wicked, but it becomes that he's standing in the way of sinners. But it doesn't just stay there. There's this escalation in this picture that is given to us where he moves from walking to standing to now he's sitting in this place of scoffers, in this place of scoffing and laughing at the things of God. That's the way of the wicked. But there's another path that we can take for our lives that the psalmist tells us of, and this is the path of the righteous. This is the path to the blessed life. In verse 1, the psalmist has shown us that the blessed man is the righteous man who doesn't listen to ungodly counsel. He's the kind of guy who doesn't want to have anything to do with those that don't want to have anything to do with God, and those who laugh at the idea of honoring him. And well, those things are not the things that he does. What does he do? Verse 2 tells us what he does. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The first thing that we're told is that he is a guy who is delighting in the law of the Lord. The completely happy man is the one who is delighting in the word of the Most High God. He embraces God's word. He takes great joy in it. He's not spending time in God's word and reading God's word just to know about God and to get some information, but he is reading it because he is delighting in it. He wants to. It's not because he has to, but he wants to. He's spending time. He wants to know the God of the universe, the one who is his maker. And even more than that, he doesn't just take pleasure and enjoy God's word, but what's the natural next step? As he's there and he's enjoying and he's longing to hear God's voice and to know him, he can't help but keep on thinking about him. It says that he is meditating upon God's word. How often? Day and night. All day long. He's carrying God's word with him through whatever it is that he's journeying. It's shaping his perspective of everything, whatever it is that he's facing. He's mindful of the truths of God's word and his promises. He's all the more able to recognize God's presence in his life and how the Lord is speaking to him. You know, think of something that you delight in, something that you enjoy. What happens? You start thinking about it. You start meditating on it, and just it's on your mind, it's on your brain all the time. And this week, as I've been thinking about this passage, I've just found it so true in so many ways. You know, things that maybe you wouldn't notice otherwise because spending time on God's word and being reflecting on his goodness and his greatness, you can't help but see all the more ways that God is working in what he has done. When we think upon and reflect upon God's word, grace thrives. Our prayer lives thrive. We're ever singing the praises of God, and our work for the Lord is all the more powerful as we are meditating and delighting in his word. Our lives are getting shaped by what we meditate and think on. And so then in verse 3, he moves on and he gives us another picture for comparison, just to see what the differences are between the blessed life and the one that isn't. He says it's like a tree that bears fruit. He's healthy and alive. His leaves, they're not withering, they're not dying, but rather his life is life-giving like that of a healthy tree. He's a tree that is prospering, but unlike a fruitful tree, we're told that a life of living for self and wickedness is one that can be summed up as being like chaff or worthless. A worthless part of the grain that the wind just blows away. It doesn't last. It isn't worth anything. And as I'm reading this, it's like, man, I want my life to matter. I want it to make a difference. I want it to have some worth. Do you want your life to matter? The psalmist is saying the life that matters is a fruitful life. It's the blessed life. It's the one that is shaped by and found in delighting in God's word and meditating on it day and night. That's the one that leads to living for the Lord. That's the one that leads to making a difference. That's the one that is fruitful. But before the psalmist ends, he has one more thing that he has to share at this point. All throughout the psalm, we find that there are two paths, two ways to walk in this life. There are two ways to live. There is the way of the wicked, the way of the righteous. And the way of the wicked is the path that is described as that which laughs at anything that aims to honor the Lord. It's a life that doesn't last and it doesn't bear fruit. And then there's the other way. It doesn't laugh, but it aims, and its heart's desire is to honor the Lord in all things. And it is a life that bears fruit and prospers as it delights and meditates on God's word. And in the final two verses, in case there was any question as to the results of these two ways to live, the psalmist now informs us that there is judgment coming and that the way of the wicked will perish, but not the way of the righteous. And so what do these few verses have to say to you and me this morning about the blessed life, about the steps that we're taking and the path that we're on? Here's a few things that come to mind. I just want to encourage you in as we apply this to our lives. First one is this. I want to ask you to consider this. Who is your company? Who is it that you have surrounding you, who's staying close to you? Who are you spending your time with? You might have heard it said that your life and the kind of person that you're going to become is the sum of the five closest people that you have to you in your life. It makes a difference, the kind of people that we surround ourselves with. Is the company that you're keeping in your life, are they going to spur you on and encourage you to stay close to the Lord? Are they going to encourage you to head in the right direction? Is it company, or is it company that is laughing at and scoffing at the things of God, the ways of God? Is the company that you're keeping close, are they going to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but that in all of your ways that you would know him? Is that the kind of company that you're keeping close? I think that's what the psalm, one of the things it's saying to us about our ways to live, that's an important thing for us to be mindful of. The Apostle Paul, he said this in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Writer of Proverbs says this, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good." So you want to become wise? Then walk with the wise. Want to know good rewards and stay away from disaster? Then it's simple, stick with the righteous. But not only watch your company, but I want to encourage you to watch your steps. More often than not, you don't end up somewhere all of a sudden, out of nowhere. You don't end up there by accident or surprise. You end up there with a bunch of little decisions, a bunch of little steps that have gotten you there. And there's all kinds of examples that we can look to in our lives where we find ourselves in places that you never intended to be. And so be careful. Watch your steps. But also, I want to ask you, what is it that you're delighting in? Are you delighting in God's word? Are you thinking upon and reflecting upon God's word? Are you spending time in his word daily, just longing to know him more? What are you filling your minds with? Are you allowing the truths of God's word to renew your mind? Are the glories of the gospel that which you are meditating upon every day? God's word is true. That's why the blessed man delights in it. It fits reality. It works. God knows how life works. He's the one who made it. He's the one who created everything. He knows everything about you. And as you know God more through his word, you're going to continue to grow and become a life-giving person. And so in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, you can know peace and you can know contentment. As you read God's word and delight in it in the midst of whatever you're going through, because your roots are going deep into him. And lastly, there's two paths, and you got to know that how you live your life matters. And who you live your life for matters, because there's a judgment coming than that the psalmist speaks of here. And the path that you have walked will matter, and there is one that leads to life, and there's one that leads to happiness, and then there's one that leads to death. And so how do you come to know the blessed life? Here's the answer. The blessed life, it isn't about works. It's not about just doing a bunch of the right things. But it is all about God's grace. It's only because of that grace that we can know the transforming work of Jesus in our lives. It's only because of grace that we can know the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. We cannot do this on our own. It's all only because of his grace. Want to know life? It's found in Jesus. That's why he came. None of this is about being perfect or following rules. It is about knowing Jesus and meditating and knowing him in the deepest of ways, and that Jesus came and he paid the price at Calvary so that we don't need to. This morning, I want to close with this. As a father, I want to do the best that I can to lay a framework for my children to know happiness and the good things because I love them. And so as I love them, and as I try to give this framework, I'm doing it not because I want to keep them from something, but I want to protect them from something. It's not because I want something from them, but it's because I want something for them. And as we look at this psalm, I believe that that's the heart of our loving Father who is here and writing this psalm and has given us this psalm. It's from a loving and gracious God who is giving us direction. He knows how life works. He knows how relationships work. He knows how our hearts work. He knows what's down the path of the steps and direction that we take. He's the one that created it all, and he knows and he sees what we can't see from where we are sitting. And he loves us. And so this morning, I don't know, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're a young person, and where you're at in life, and you're like, I just don't know, and I'm having these questions about what's next. I want you to know that he knows and he sees and he's just given us every bit of what we need, that we can trust him and follow his lead. And so just keep your eyes on him and keep meditating on his word. There's going to be some unexpected and hard things that come into our lives, and maybe that's where you're at this morning and right now, and there's this stuff that has come into your life that you didn't expect and see coming, but it's really hard. You're just not sure where or what to do. Know that there is a way. There is a right way. There are two ways you could go. I want to encourage you, stay close to the Lord and choose following and trusting him. He's the one that you can lean on through it all. What would it look like for you? Maybe just think about this. What would it look like for you right now in regards to your walk with Christ? To choose to follow him and to choose to trust him and to continue to grow in your walk with him. Is your heart at peace? Is your heart content? Do you know joy and purpose? Are you living for yourself? No matter what we're journeying through, as we delight and as we meditate on God's word, we can know joy unspeakable. That's what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3-9. He talks about even whenever we're going through the hardest things in our lives, that there is joy unspeakable that we can experience and know. All because of Jesus. Jesus is the one. Why did he come? So that you might have life. He wants you to have life. That's why he came. And so question here today is, do you know him? Is the journey hard right now? Keep seeking the Lord. Delight yourself in him. Meditate and think upon his promises. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, keep knowing him and he'll make your path straight. That's the way to choose. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me now? How is it that you want to move in my life?